A hopeless case.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Well, good, good. And good evening, Mr. Cox. I think you're on the line as well.
Yes, good evening, Richard and Chris. Great to be with you all.
Great. And glad to have you guys. And I know you've got a couple callers coming in for testimonies, and I'll sure let you know when they call in.
Great.
Pastor Cox, how about starting us off with a word of prayer?
Sure. Well, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just come thanking you again for what you really did for us at the cross. Lord, we're learning it more and more of how much that is and what that means in our lives. That through you, Jesus, that we truly can live life abundant. But Lord, we know we have this adversary. We've learned about him now that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But nevertheless, you've given us all power over this enemy, even the promise that nothing will harm us. So, Lord, we do stand on your word tonight. We thank you with this power in Jesus' name, we can prevail in every way. Thank you, Lord, for the people that are set free from so many problems in doing this works of Jesus called deliverance. Thank you, Lord, that you have commissioned us to go forward in your name, that you commissioned all believers to go forward in your name. So, Lord, here we go.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I know that you'd appreciate where I was this weekend. I was at a fishing and boating show, and I was looking at all the people there that are not walking in abundance, and they're not walking in liberty. The bondages upon our people is just heavy. physical, spiritual, mental.
Brother Chris, you can look in their faces and tell those that are not born again and those that are. You look right in their eyes and you can see it. Their eyes seem to be, their spirit man inside their eyes seems to be reaching out. Somebody help me. Somebody save me. They're all around us.
Well, like Christ said, the field is ripe and the harvesters are few. I'm paraphrasing, but we need more harvesters.
Amen.
Amen. One of the things we had talked about this week was the fact, and I had discerned it, and you said that you have someone that's close to you that discerned it, and I have emails that prove that it's out there, that people have been praying against what we do here on Wednesday night. Would you address that for just a second?
Well, yes, of course we see that a lot, and we've seen it through our ministry. Initially, what we do, this works of Jesus, what we do in his name, sounds really far out, and most people, including myself, are not exposed to it. Most people, never their whole lives. I was age 44, even though I was born again when I was 13. I was 44 years old before someone pointed out this works of Jesus and how this would help people. And so, yes, as we read in the scriptures, the tongue has the power of life and death, and will eat the fruit thereof. That people, by speaking certain negatives about someone or even themselves, those negatives to the evil spirit world can be like curses, and it authorizes their evil spirits accordingly to go forth to torment, harass, to steal, kill, and destroy. So the good news being, of course, in Jesus' name, we can break those curses, and we do it. As we address them, we can break them and then rebuke the evil spirits connected to the curses. Praise God that we do have all power. But yes, it's a very common thing, and a lot of people don't mean to be speaking curses on someone by judging and speaking certain negatives out loud. They just don't know. I didn't know either. But as I got introduced to this now 38 years ago, I realized I had to make some changes in my speech. I had to watch myself, because the human tendency is to speak certain negatives.
Well, I think with some of our people, the people that are out there, they're actually praying against us because they think we're so wrong in what we're doing. But here, you know, there's some scripture, and these are the scriptures that we as Christians generally don't like a whole lot. But Romans 12:14 says, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not." And then Luke 6:28 says, "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So what I'd like you to do is offer up a prayer that we bless all of those that have raised curses against us intentionally or even unintentionally.
Yes. So right now, in Jesus' name, we do forgive whoever may have spoken certain curses, certain negatives, made certain judgments against this show, Hope is Alive, and all the people connected, Deliverance Ministries, our families, with all power. We do forgive those people. We even bless them. And we also break any related curses and judgments. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now you and I can celebrate, because in Deuteronomy 23:5, an example was, "Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee." And I have no doubt that he loves us. And so, Lord, thank you for turning any curse spoken against us into a blessing.
Yes, and what people find out, of course, Brother Chris, is that this is a great area of the gospel. It is a great deal. They're cutting themselves short, so many people, because they have no knowledge of this works of Jesus and what it will do to help people with their problems. I had no idea, and I would just like many of the listeners, someone had to tell me about it. How's a man to know unless someone shares it? And praise God, I just thank God over and over that a friend of mine shared it, a pathologist friend that I'd grown up with, and even though this subject sounds really weird initially, he told me about his little church, how they were doing this type of ministry, and people were getting free of all kinds of problems, and consequently, I was just curious. It sounded pretty far out in the space age, but I asked him if I could sit in and see some of that kind of ministry, and I did, and I even saw demons manifest speaking out of Christians' mouths, and it finally hit me. This has to be real, because some of the demons would say their master was Satan right out of a Christian's mouth. So that's when I started researching and getting books on this. If you go online, you'll find hundreds and probably thousands of books on how to deal in this works of Jesus of casting out of evil spirits and how Christians have the power to do it. And that's how I got initially started. I just reading all these books around and started learning. I felt if I was in a spiritual war, maybe I'd better learn how to shoot. And that's what I've been doing ever since. But when we shoot, we win. That's the good news.
Mark 16:17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils."
Yes.
Can it get any plainer than that?
That's pretty clear.
And I know Christians that don't even know that verse is in the Bible, but Christians don't read the Bible like they used to, or professed Christians don't.
Yeah. Amen. And a lot of preachers never touch on those scriptures. They kind of just skip over them.
Well, Chris and Mr. Cox, we've got Michael. Let me bring him on. Hey, good evening, Michael.
Good. Hey, good evening. How are you guys this evening?
Yeah, hi, Michael.
Hey, Everett, how are you doing? Blessed. Me too.
Great. I'm glad you called in. And this is Mike from Oklahoma City. And Mike has been around deliverance. My goodness, how many decades, Mike?
Oh, gosh. Probably three, I would think.
Yeah.
Long time. We've known each other for a long time, Everett.
Why don't you kind of give a little testimony on how you did get introduced to this works of Jesus? You were already a born-again Christian, I know. And then how you've seen it work and what's happened and so forth.
Sure. A real short history on me. I grew up in a Presbyterian church, and if people talked about the devil, it was very little. And ended up later in my life going to a little church that was a good Bible church, and they were teaching who we are in Christ, which I think, of course, is so very important that people know that. Once we realize that we're joint heirs in Christ and we understand that we've been given the power over all of the enemies, it just helps immensely. Anyway, back to how I got involved. I was going to this little church, and I was having some problems that were kind of repeat problems. And, somebody recommended that I go to deliverance. And I thought, well, that's kind of crazy. I'm just, you know, I don't have demons. I don't have things wrong with me. They could, you know, I'm a good Christian. And I went ahead and reluctantly decided to drive down there, and all the way down to the deliverance, I kept hearing this little voice that said, "This is ridiculous in my mind. This is crazy, people. This it's just crazy. Don't go. You don't need to go down there." And I thought, well, I've said I'll go, so I went ahead and went down there and met with these people. And interestingly enough, it's in the same church that you are ministering in right now, in a little room down there, and met with some people I'd never met before. And we prayed and went through all the not quite to the degree that you do it, but you know, it was a deliverance. And I left that place I didn't really know what to expect. I just thought, well, this is interesting. And I also had never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, so they asked me if I wanted that, and I said, sure, give me that. So we tried that, and as I left, I I was on the way home, I'll never forget, and I started to sing. I was one of the leaders in my church, and I started singing, and all of a sudden I was singing in the Spirit, singing in a language I'd never heard before. And the very next day I woke up, and the way I would describe it is that my whole life I've looked through opaque glass, and you can see shape and form, and you could see things out there, but you really couldn't see them clearly. And it was like somebody had just taken the opaque glass and turned that into just crystal clear glass. And now I could see the attacks. I could identify and see the attacks and see the demonic forces that were coming at me every day. And once you identify them and know who they are, and you understand the authority we have in, you know, through Christ being joint heirs, that we can resist that devil. And it tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And if you read it a little closer, I think it says he'll run in terror from you. So, you know, if that just changed my life. I mean, I then understood the war we were in, and I understood how to. I was cleared up, and I think what happens to people is they pick up little spiritual things through their life. They don't realize they're picking them up. I did through some of my college years, and I investigated some other religions and investigated a few things that opened doors that allowed demonic forces to come in and cloud my vision. And once I got loose from that, then I understand we're in a war. And that's not too long after that I met you, and I have seen many, many people be set free from all sorts of things. One of them, I'll give you an example, was my daughter. She had a spirit of fear that was so heavy and harsh. She'd call me and say, "Somebody's following me home. They're following me." And she was afraid of everything. I'd have to watch her walk out to the car, and you know, because she was afraid somebody was out there and going to get her. And it was just an uncharacteristically a fear that was just unbelievable. And you know, the Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. So easily we identify, if you've got fear, that's not certainly not from God. So decided one day, you and I talked, and I took her over to your office, and you worked with her for 4 hours, and she was a completely changed person. I mean, she was almost to the point of change that I thought, now, a little bit of fear is okay, but I mean, this lady, she went from not being able to walk out to the car to riding her bicycle around Lake Hefner at night. And I'm saying, now, you've got to use good judgment. I know you're not afraid of anything, but you need to use some good judgment, Amy. So that was one example, but I've seen numerous examples in my life and in how it changed mine and many, many other people. And then, of course, I worked at Deliverance Ministries as a deliverance minister for several years. Lately I have not been, but I intend to get back. And many of the cases that I had, you just, the countenance of the people that come in, that you see them before, and then after you've gone through all of the door closing prayers and the whole process that you go through to help them and minister to them, and at the end of an evening, things that have just kept them bound up their entire life in a matter of 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours has just gone. I mean, it's just gone. They're gone, and their countenance changes. The look on their face and the smiles on their face, it's just very, very rewarding. And then, of course, we follow through and we help people understand how to stay free and how to, and the big thing is the authority that we have over the enemy that's been given to us. And So that's a kind of a nutshell of where I've come from and how I've been involved in this. I would encourage anyone listening that if you have any thing that it just seems like, man, I just can't get over it, to think, hey, maybe I should get in a situation where I should come and be ministered to, because I don't think there is a Christian out there that could not benefit from this type of ministry. It's just it's awesome, and it really, really sets them free.
Well, we were talking before you came on, Michael, about people not walking in liberty and walking in that abundance. Would you testify that the difference between before your deliverance and after your deliverance was an incredible abundance and liberty, walking in the Bible and in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Absolutely, absolutely. And being involved in a good Bible church that's teaching you the Word of God and teaching you the authority and who we are in Christ, and walking in that abundance and liberty and the power. In Luke 10:19 it says, "Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you." And it's just knowing who we are in Christ, and it helps you so much. And knowing, one of the things I think is it's the scripture says we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And I think this is the, I'm not sure which translation, but huge numbers of wicked spirits. So if you understand that, and you're in a conflict with a person, and you start realizing, I'm not really warring with them, I'm warring with the demonic forces that are at play in their life. Well, you can look at them in a completely different light. You look at them and you think, they're a child of God, and I'm not going to get angry with them. I'm going to be angry with Satan and take authority over him. And many times under my breath, I've taken authority over when I'm in a situation where someone's saying things that I know are not from them, but from the enemy. And I can pray in the spirit, pray in quietly, and take authority over that. And many times that just calms the situation down. Everything relaxes, and then you start dealing with the person rather than the demonic forces at play. So
I would say that as a rule of thumb, anywhere that we're not walking in the fruits, that we're not walking in the promises that our Lord Jesus gave us in his word, then we probably should look to see what area those principalities or those demonic influences may be hindering us.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah.
And, you know, I've run into spirits of suicide quite a bit, and we all know how rampant that is. Every time you turn around, there's somebody committing suicide from every age. And have you run into that any, Mike?
I have. I've run into that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Something that just came to my mind and I wanted to mention. It tells us in the Bible that we stand against Satan. And I think God really wants us all of the Christians, he wants us to be his warriors here on earth and understand who we are. And I was trying to describe this to someone the other day, and it says that the Bible, in the Bible, that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Well, I started thinking about that, and I have a friend that he actually was raised with lions around and had them in his house, and interesting fellow, his dad had lions, and we've talked about never run from a lion in the event, and so I looked it up, and this is something that I'd sent another friend of mine. It says, in the event of a mountain lion attack, stand up straight and make yourself look as large as possible. Do not run. Running induces the cat's natural instinct to give chase and never stoop down or bend down. yell at the cat and throw things at him, and he'll run, usually they'll run away. Well, that's kind of the same posture I think we need to take as Christians towards this devil that's going around like a roaring lion. We don't want to run. We want to use our authority over him, and that's good. After deliverance, you're in a fresh, good place, and you have to understand that even though you've gone through deliverance, that Satan will come back and try to influence you again. But now you can see it clearly, and now you can stand against him because you know who you are in Christ. So that I think is very important, and I just felt led to mention that. So.
Well, Michael, you sound like a sane person. And
well, thank
what
you.
Would you say to these people? Well, we've been accused of being insane for deliverance, but you sound like a sane person. So, what would you say to people that still have misgivings and they're struggling with just accepting this as part of the ministry of Jesus Christ?
What I would say to them is study Scripture. The Scripture in the Bible tells us exactly what we're talking about. This is not something we're making up. Investigate, first of all, investigate what Christ teaches us and God has taught us about Satan. He's there. He is on this earth, and he's going to be there until Christ comes back. And so you have to understand who you're at war with. And once you understand that, then you need to investigate who you are in Christ. Learn that. Because it's in the Bible. This is not something. Now, I'll tell you this. There's a lot of churches out there that are really good churches, and they teach a lot of good things. But they don't equip the saints. And I think it's important, and it would even be self-serving to a pastor to equip his flock, because then your flock knows, hey, I don't have to call the pastor at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, pray for me. I am afraid. Because that person can, once they know who they are in Christ, they can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, spirit of fear, go from me. And Satan knows when this becomes revelation knowledge to you, that who you are in Christ, when it's revelation knowledge, it can't be head knowledge, it has to be revelation knowledge. When you know who you are in Christ, you know the authority that you've been given, and you can speak to the enemy, Satan responds. I mean, you look at the works of Christ and the things that frustrated him the most were the lack of faith that some of his disciples had. And heck, I mean, those guys were there walking with him. And in some of the times that, wasn't it in Matthew? I think it was in Matthew when one of the sons was having seizures and he was, I can't remember the exact scripture. Do you remember that one, Everett? But they ask him, why couldn't we cast out this demon? I think it's Matthew 17, maybe. But it's in Matthew 17, I think.
Okay.
So anyway, that's what I tell you people that are out there. Investigate this. Learn about the Bible. This is not some crazy thing that people are making up. I've seen this over and over and over. And I've seen manifestations of spirits and people that I knew, and I've heard demons talk out of their mouth, and these are normal, everyday people. And it's so real that you just can't deny it. It's just absolute reality. It's not some crazy notion.
Well, good. Well, yes. Michael, thank you for calling in. Are other callers on the line? Pastor Cox, anything you want to say before Michael goes?
Well, no, thank you, Mike, for sharing.
You're welcome, and I appreciate the opportunity.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you all, and continue on. Thank you. Bye.
Amen.
All right, let me
See if I can get the right buttons pushed here. Amy, I think we've got you on now.
Hi.
Hi, Amy. Yeah, good to have you join us here. Amy's up in northern Missouri near the Iowa border, and she's had some experience with this this part of the gospel called deliverance. And so, Amy, I'm so glad you called in to share of what you've seen in this area called deliverance, this works of Jesus of casting out of evil spirits. What why don't you share on how you kind of learned about where you were coming from and all that?
Well, how I came to hear about it, I guess I had grown up as a Christian and was familiar with the idea, but I married a man several years ago who had been married before, and in his former marriage, the children had been very severely abused by their birth mother. They'd been abandoned, repeatedly beaten, had horrible things said to them. They were just really, really hurting. And when we married, the emotional problems in those children was extreme. Some of them, I had known these children for years, and they'd grown up in churches, hearing the gospel, you know, having some faith. They weren't, you know, they weren't just non-believers or unbelievers, but they, as they got into their teen years, we were having so many problems. Some of the girls got into cutting themselves. One of the daughters was hearing voices. One of the sons went to Afghanistan after the abusive childhood and had very intense traumatic experiences there, came back, was diagnosed with PTSD, was having depression so badly. At times he had to call me so I could go help him get out of his car to go into the place he was staying. It was just, we were just having a lot of problems. So when the daughter who was hearing voices started hearing a voice telling her to kill herself, at that point I was desperate. The kids had been in counseling. Some of them had taken psychiatric medicine. But when the daughter came to me and said she was hearing a voice telling her to drive off a bridge and kill herself, and she was desperate, I got on the phone and called my husband's sister who lives out in Oklahoma. They had been through deliverance with a family member of theirs and had described what it was like and how it had impacted their family member's life. And I asked her, who did this for you? We need help. And through a series of calls, I was able to locate Everett. Well, Everett, because we're so far away and it's expensive and we're a big family, we couldn't just drop everything and get down there, and the daughter needed help right now. And so we pulled up his website. Everett said, he talked with me a while and he said, you can do this. And I knew he was right. I knew that I could, and I knew the Lord was with us. And we pulled up his website and just began walking through the door closing prayer, just breaking ungodly soul ties, just walking down through that step-by-step list that has been developed in his ministry, you know, through years of doing this. And you know what? She manifested demons. It was obvious demons were leaving her as we reached the point of casting them out. And the next morning, she had, I mean, there were so many things that happened, and I could keep you on and on describing how the web page wouldn't come up, and it wouldn't come up, and wouldn't come up, and wouldn't come up. And my husband rebuked Satan in the name of Jesus Christ, and immediately Everett's web page came up. There were several experiences like that through the evening. But the next morning, she weighed 7 pounds less, and she only weighed 122 pounds the night before. She got up the next morning and said, "Mom, my pants are too big." And she got on the scale, and during the deliverance, she had actually lost 7 pounds. There was actually a physical change also. The awesome thing is this. What ended up happening is we sent the children, and many of these children are adults. They range from 28 down to 16. We ended up sending all of them. There's only one who hasn't been down to see Everett. But we sent them down, and each one of them, the life change that has taken place in these kids is, it really is amazing, and they would all tell you the same thing. It wasn't that like the next day, woo, they were completely different, but it was like seeing chains come off of them. And we have no self-mutilation, nobody's hearing voices. None of them are taking medicine anymore. I can look back. This has been about a year ago that we first contacted Everett. I didn't look up the date, but it's been approximately a year ago. The kids, the girl who was cutting never cut again. The boy who was so depressed he couldn't get out of his car is in college this year. He's making good grades. He's happy. He's functioning. Each one of them is growing in their relationship with the Lord. It changed their lives. We have one son left who has not been through deliverance. And we're talking about hurting kids. This boy, his counselors told him he has symptoms of multiple personality from the ordeals of his childhood. And we hope he's planning to be home. He's in the Marine Corps, and he'll be home in the next 10 days. And I know we can do it, but I'm taking him down to Oklahoma to, to put him in more experienced hands. Yeah, Paul, my husband's standing behind me. He's talking about when we were working the first time with his daughter, Martha, she had a demon. Which one was it? I don't remember which one it was, but it was anger or something like that. It was a very intense situation, and it wouldn't leave, and it wouldn't leave. And we turned to speak to each other, you know, what do we do? Yeah, she told me it's laughing at you when we were working with her. And we, Paul and I, my husband and I, turned to one another and said, what do we do? Because we were new at this. And Paul said, well, we'll just have to take her down to see Everett. And she said, it just left. When Paul said we were taking her to see Everett, the demon left. So I know, it amused us too. So apparently our brother is known in some circles. but anyway, our family's been very blessed by deliverance, and if there's anybody listening who is uncertain, if you've got a family member who is in bondage, take them to have deliverance. There may be a million other things you do. Have I counseled with my kids this year? Of course, on a million subjects. Yes, my husband's saying things in the background. We all had health changes. Their health is better. But I definitely would encourage anyone who is uncertain, if they're thinking about it, if you have bondage in your life, if you are doing self-mutilation, anxiety, depression, go ask for help.
Amy, I want to ask you about the counseling that you said you'd done afterwards, and I want you to compare it to the counseling before, because I noticed that a lot of the world out there, and even people I've counseled before deliverance, it was like trying to put a Band-Aid on a big gash, a big wound. And you might stop the bleeding for a while.
Oh, absolutely. absolutely. One of the daughters, I haven't even talked much about her. One of the daughters, a year ago in January, we were in my kitchen in the middle of the night. She woke me up. She had just come to live with us. She'd been through a horrible ordeal with her birth mom. She woke me up in the middle of the night, and I came down to the kitchen, and she was hysterical, and I couldn't reason with her. She was depressed. The things coming out of her mouth were so dark. She was talking about taking pills and killing herself, and she'd actually been to the emergency room twice before she came to live with us from taking pills. And it was awful. I mean, we wrestled and struggled through that night, but it was awful. The counseling in those days was, I mean, we were in intense trauma as a family because of the enormity of the problems in these kids from the abuse of their childhood. And the demonic presences, and I didn't fully grasp that at the time. Even though I was a believer in Christ, I did not realize how much was flat out demons and demonic influence in these kids. And now, the counseling are things like, no, honey, I can't buy you an iPhone. You're going to have to have the lesser expensive Galaxy phone. And yes, I'll hurry and get your FAFSA done so we can get you ready for your Pell Grant to go to college this fall. You know, it's normal challenges. They're not perfect kids. One of them is still struggling with smoking cigarettes, and she wants to quit, and I want her to quit. But we're not talking about. I'm sorry, I'm getting feedback on my phone. But now we're not talking about suicide and cutting themselves and horrendous things.
Right. Now, one thing that I look at as a sign that you're dealing with an unclean spirit is that when reasoning, when facts, when evidence, when truth, when nothing you can say can make a difference. Did you find that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. The night that she was in the kitchen talking about suicide, there was no way. She was so dark and depressed. I ended up just saying, go to bed. I had to almost just overpower her emotionally, because I couldn't reason with her. Now she's reasonable.
And suicide is so common. I've actually had three of my grandchildren call me that they were having suicide thoughts. That demon is rampant, and it's in the youth. Of course, I wound up ministering to them and casting them out, and they've been fine ever since. But
yeah.
Most people would not have any idea that suicide could be a demon that we can deal with in Jesus' name. Now, there may be some root reasons that we need to deal with, some generational curses, that kind of thing. But through the process we have learned, we can get people free usually pretty quick in one session. So I was on the listening to the prayer hour before this show came on, and there was someone that called in with suicide thoughts, and there was prayer that went forth for him. But we need to get this out into the body of Christ, that this kind of thing is demonic, but we can deal with it in Jesus' name.
Well, do you know why the suicide is so prevalent? Because when someone commits suicide, it fulfills all three of Satan's goals, which is he kills, he steals, and he destroys.
Amen for that.
Well, it was interesting. One of the things that happened here when my husband broke generational curses in himself, his son from California, who calls, you know, once a month or every 6 weeks, called and said, what is happening? Are you praying for me? What's going on? Because I feel different. Yeah, he said, I suddenly have peace. It affected his son half a country away.
Oh, that's
praise God. And you know, that's not unusual. In fact, that we've gotten to the point at Deliverance Ministries where when people call about wanting their children to get ministry, what we've learned is if we're able to minister to the parents first and get all these generational curses broken, that the children, so typically, I'm talking about minor children, they so typically do not even need ministry then. So that's a generational thing. When those are broken off, the children can automatically be set free, and that's what you discovered there, wasn't it, Amy?
Yeah, it is. And we have a very peaceful home, and we're not having the issues we were having a year ago at all. And we're talking about multiple kids.
Yeah, you've got quite a family there. What is it, six or seven?
Yeah,
praise God.
Well, amen. Well, Amy, do you have anything else to say before we let you off the line?
Well, bless your hearts. I appreciate your ministry and your work, and to be in our prayers.
Well, amen, and we thank you for that.
Yes. Blessings to you, Amy. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Everett. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I wanted to address something that Michael brought out. He was talking about the equipping, that this is part of the ministry that you need to be equipped in. And Ephesians 4:12, some versions of the Bible have the word perfecting as equipping, but it's the same. For the equipping of the saints unto the work of the ministry and unto the building up of the body of Christ. So this is one of the tools that we have not had to build up the body of Christ. And if you look at the body of Christ, you can see, just like at that boat show, people aren't walking in liberty. They're not walking in abundance. They're not walking in the freedom that the Lord gave us.
Absolutely. And you know, our experience, what I've seen over these 38 years of doing this now, is that most Christians have at least three dozen spirits. That's what we never just find one or two or eight or ten. There's like a package of some kind, and many have come through the generational door. But as we teach, there's 15 doors that we've learned about that demons can come through to torment Christians and to block our lives. And so if you've got to get those doors closed, we found, to have efficient ministry. But it's all there for us if a person will just seek and reach out.
You know, one of the favorite stories that you tell, and you kind of touched on it with Amy there, was about the father that had trouble reading. Do you remember that story and how it affected his children?
No. Remind me of that.
He came in and he had trouble reading. He was illiterate, basically. And it was a spirit of illiteracy.
Yes.
Go ahead and tell that one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yes, a man came to my office. I got into ministry with him. He was having all kinds of problems, and one of which was illiteracy. And this demon manifested. In fact, he had about 40 demons, and every one of them talked through his mouth. It was a classic manifestation case, and I even finally put a microphone over on the table and recorded about half of them. And this one of them that I got recorded, in fact, we have it on a CD that's available for sale, and as well as other testimonies like that. But in this one, we got it recorded, and this demon of illiteracy spoke up, gave its name. So here I am, a Christian soldier. I've got a prisoner of war in front of me. I am interrogating this demon. And I said to it, well, how long have you been there? I was expecting it to say a few years or whatever. This demon says 5 generations. And then it chuckles. And so I kept interrogating it. And I said, well, how did you get in the family line that long? And the demon said, a curse, and chuckled some more. It was almost like it was proud of itself. So I kept interrogating it. Well, where'd the curse come from? And the demon finally admitted, a witch. And then it really chuckled. So it was a 5-generation curse put on by a witch in his family line of illiteracy. So I broke then, having all power in Jesus' name with him in agreement, I broke that curse in Jesus' name, and then I commanded all the demons of the curse to go, illiteracy to go. He starts coughing. It isn't 15, 20 seconds that the demon was out of there, and he had relief. Well, I visited with him a few weeks later and found out something very interesting. Not only did he change, he worked in a jewelry store. He'd had all kinds of changes there. Instead of working back in the back with the jewelry, he was now working the counters with a suit on, you know, had a kind of a suave look. I actually went by the jewelry store and saw him. I had to do a double take. But then I learned from him that his minor children in grade school who had the same illiteracy problems immediately turned around, and we never ministered to them. They were not there during the ministry session. So I did learn something from that, to the point the lesson was that when people do call about bringing a child in for ministry, it is a great idea to get the parents to go through first, getting all these generational curses broken, etc., and then let's see how the child did. And our experience is, most of the time, they do not have to bring the child in. The child's already turned around and improved.
Well, the power of this ministry, you know, I was impressed with the lady we had on a few weeks ago that had 60 years of bondage, had been committed several times, and in one evening was set free. And to see someone set free from five generations, and that would have gone on forever through the generations,
yeah,
until the power of the Lord broke it. And to have people mock and come against the testimony of these people that are set free.
Yes, and a big point to get hold of, Brother Chris, in this kind of ministry, it is not a matter of praying, it is a matter of commanding. We've been given the power in Jesus' name to deal with it, even at distance. And we can do that. But you have to command, because we have been commanded to do it this way. We got a power of attorney from our Jesus before he arose to sit on the right hand of the Father, and he told us to do it in his name.
Well, I like what Jack said a few weeks back. He said, most ministers pray and they fall short of the command.
Yes. And that is to say that prayer is not important. It is, of
course. Absolutely.
And God answers all kinds of prayers. But how wonderful to get hold of. We can deal with this right off, directly, and watch it happen. It blows me away every time.
Well, if you'd like to find out more about Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, I'm going to give you a website, deliveranceusa.com tonight. The other website, my name is down, so deliveranceusa.com. That will take you to the Deliverance Ministries. And as Amy testified about the power she had by just using the self-ministry tools that are there on the site that walks you through everything that Pastor Cox does on a Monday night. Is that so?
Yes. And we've got those glitches worked out of there right now, it looks like, and it's working normal again. But yes, many people that are not able to come conveniently to Oklahoma City, we refer them to that. And it's amazing how many people will get a level, sometimes a complete relief, by going through those video steps that we have on the website. It's under self-ministry.
Well, I spoke to you about this a couple of months ago, but I'm going to bring it up tonight, is that we would like to see people trained in deliverance. There's no reason we can't have 500 deliverance sessions going on around the country every Monday night. And
yes,
people need it. If you have an interest in learning what this man has learned from the Lord through the Word and through practice over the last 30-some years, then go to the website and contact the ministry and find out how you can learn to set people free from bondages, generational curses, from demons, and have them walk in liberty and abundance. I'm sure that you will say that there's this has been a very rewarding ministry for you.
Well, yes, I'm on a high constantly, and as I look back, I just praise God somebody shared it with me, because I could have missed it very easily.
Well, I think we're about at the end of the program. Richard, do you have anything to add tonight?
Well, I had when you started out the program, a thought occurred to me, and I was able to look it up, and it's basically Mark. Maybe we'll just go out with this. We're about out of time, but it's Mark 8, and it's a lot of words of Christ here, and but Mark 8:38, and John said to him, that's the Apostle John, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to hinder him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, 'Do not hinder him, for there is no one who shall perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us.'" And, you know, the things of our Lord, the things of God, we don't have them all figured out yet. And I would encourage people that you had mentioned of earlier, Chris, that maybe don't have a full understanding of this, that this doesn't fit into their box of Christianity, their understanding, to pray about it. And like you said, Mr. Cox, or maybe one of the other caller, Michael, did, read the Word. You know, we haven't arrived yet. We're still we're still a work in progress. But read the Word, and you know, when we abide in Him, He will abide in us, and He will send His Holy Spirit to guide us. And so, if this is something that you know, that the people out there are supposed to do, if they will do that very thing, read the Word, they will
be
led.
One of the best prayers to pray. One of the best prayers to pray is, "Lord, I want the truth, no matter what the truth is."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep. Well, thank you, Pastor Cox. I appreciate it. Be blessed.
God bless you all.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our hope away. But hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone, just like a heart.